Sci-Fi Party Line. Hello.
Carl.
Hey, what's happening, party?
I got Daryl and Jamil on the line.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Hey, man.
Oh, let's see. The party's about to start now. The party is about to start.
Oh, dear. This is going to be so funny. I can already tell.
We're not going to be talking about no man's abs either.
Yes, I'm going to fit it in. You know why? Because Diggle on Arrow. Yeah.
You know, I can't watch Arrow without remembering Good Behavior. You remember that? That Amen knockoff?
No.
Oh.
Nobody remembers that?
I heard of
that. Yeah, I remember it. That was on like a week and a half.
Yeah, he was the pastor.
Oh, dear.
The time he shows up, I'm like, Reverend Diggle. Reverend Diggle, how are you? You know, I can't
scare for him. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second. But so this is not going to have like any editing because I don't really have time. So it's not going to even have an intro music or whatever. So you know,
What? No intro music? Now that's ghetto right there.
No,
that,
Carl, yeah. Carl.
You want me to hum it? Hum something for you.
Can we get a beatbox up in here or something?
Exactly. Jamil, welcome, man. I just want to say thank you for taking us up on the crazy offer. This should be very exciting, educational, and a good time for all. So welcome.
Yeah,
I appreciate you guys having me. This is cool.
Yeah, I'm glad because I didn't realize you were on the West Coast. Now that I think of it, you know, I don't know how you're doing it, but thanks.
Oh, you know, it's all good. You know, luckily the baby's at the doctor's right now. So,
okay.
You know, you may hear a door burst open. And me get cursed out by a little girl who just got a shot.
Oh.
But that's about the only thing we got to worry about.
Not the craziest thing that's happened on the podcast. Oh. Not the craziest. No, that's
all right. Okay. Not at all. Okay, guys, you ready to start? We're gonna go with Fringe since we've been trying to do that like for 3 months.
Wow.
We're just gonna do briefly on that because I've forgotten the whole show at this point. We're gonna go. Perhaps Arrow, because I'm not caught up on Arrow and neither is Carl.
I'm very behind on Arrow.
Now, when he says very behind and I say behind, I'm like maybe 3 episodes behind. He's only on the 2nd episode ever.
I'm rocking 5 now. I'm on number 5.
You know what? I have to admit that I think you'll be happy the farther you go in. I have a theory on Arrow and I'll share it when we talk about it, but I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory on this, and I think it's the anti-Smallville, so...
I know! Okay, we're going to talk about that. All right. And then we're going to go Walking Dead, we're going to save the best for last, and then we're going to, you know, freestyle it, because I know you guys got some male issues to work out, so I'll let you guys handle that. Daryl, me and you, we can go make out or something while these two, you know, talk to each other or something.
I wasn't told it was going to be that kind of party.
It's not that type of party. Okay.
I'm putting my keys in a bowl. I'm just telling you that right now.
Gross.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, dear. Okay. Okay. So you guys ready?
Ready.
Sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. Welcome back. I'm so sorry, folks. Life gets in the way, but... Carl came through as the hero he was, and now we're doing a podcast. So this is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me the ever so handsome Carl.
Oh, what's happening, lovely Kat?
And I have the delectable Daryl.
I've never been described that way, but okay.
And Jamil, he's new, fresh meat.
Welcome.
Hello.
I'm
questioning every decision I've made in life that has brought me to this point right now, but I'm happy to be here.
So, Jamil, I've been knowing him a long time. You know, I've appeared on the Geek Tragedy podcast before, and through them, I met Jamil, and that's how we've been keeping in contact. He's been sending me, like, Carl has a certain type of cranky tweets, and then Jamil has, like, a different you know, a whole other subset of cranky that goes on. So there's, it's just like two cranky old men having the get off Milan battle. So it's really spectacular to have these two guys together.
Cranky, I prefer to think of it as a unique perspective that is on occasion different from the mass. Yeah. You see, and that's what I
do. Me and Daryl and I, we're going to bring some calm insanity. So Daryl, I hope.
Calm insanity?
Yeah, yeah. Let's have my back tonight.
All right, fine. I got it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I got it.
And so today we're going to talk about Fringe finale, which we, you know, did not get to talk about. I'm so sorry, folks. We also going to mention the 4th anniversary of Sci-Fi Party Line, which happened in like January, but yeah.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Arrow, we're going to discuss that fine CW programming.
Stop it.
Male Model Network.
The Walking Dead brains. Rawr.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Let's start it off with Fringe, because Carl and Daryl had really some stuff to say about it. Me, you know, this final season, I don't know. It was all right. It was a decent ending. So, Carl, get it all out. Let's get the Fringe out.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I agree with you. The last season was not their strongest, but I was so happy to get a goodbye season. You know, there was a whole lot of questions as to whether or not Fringe was going to be shut down, whether they're going to cancel it or not. And for them to give it a graceful departure, I thought was kind of nice because, hey, think about it now. Think about it. The history of Fringe, Fringe has been like 5 different TV shows. Now, I mean, seriously, now think of it. There was like, you know, the Precambrian Fringe, which was like X-Files. It was like drab X-Files, like the first season.
Yeah, good
know,
times.
Then second season, you know, it started to get a little bit better, but it was sort of like, you know,
Sliders.
I'm not going to say Sliders now. But it was sort of like, you know, horror X-Files, because every time the show started, something gross happened, somebody exploded, whatnot,
couldn't
right?
Dinner watching that thing.
Then the third season, somewhere around then, they started to get, you know, I think that's when they really started to catch their, you know, the rhythm. This stuff started really picking up, and the show started feeling like something really unique. It wasn't just like X-Files. It wasn't just like something else we'd seen elsewhere. And it started to, you know, kind of have a little bit of fun around the fourth season. Didn't that when the whole cast just doubled? All of a sudden, everybody was from Bizarro Universe, and multiple universes breaking up. Which I actually liked that. You know, I thought that was really bold. It was really smart of them to do on Fringe. It was fun the way they did it.
That was definitely the high point.
Yes, absolutely. And then you know, they did some stuff with Belle, and we're not going to talk about that Belle finale where it was just like, you know, bubble universe, and what was it? It was like Genesis, the explosion planet universe.
Then there was like a ship, tanker, boat thing.
Yeah, that's
something.
The one I'm talking about. That finale was the weakest thing I have seen on Fringe. It was, you know, and given where we have been and where the show has taken us, that was a real disappointment to me. So at that point, I was like, come on now. Come on. Give me one more decent season. Let me do this right. Oh, yeah. I forgot there was this. Fringe without the star. No Peter for like a whole season. It was it was Ghost of Peter. Peter Ear. It was a Phantom Peter. Somebody just,
Peter.
You know, it was no Peter for like a whole season.
Oh,
know?
don't forget about the time. What was it? Oh, I forget. Oh, they went far in the future. That was that. That was like a half a season.
I'll take that too. So, I mean, you know, so given, forget how you feel about maybe how the finale ended or some of the low points on Fringe. Realize this show has been, seriously, like, you know, 5 different sci-fi programs in its life and still managed to have a little continuity, still managed to keep my attention, still managed to keep some really interesting characters and stories that, you know, were in the tradition of what we think of as more classic, you know, sci-fi on TV. I loved it. I thought it ended well. Now here's the other thing. Now, let me qualify that well on one last thing. My favorite character on Fringe has always been Walter. Walter has always been my favorite on Fringe. But there is a huge contingent, you know, and everybody likes different people on Fringe, but there was a huge Peter contingent out there for Fringe.
That's me.
Now, what they did on, like, you know, the third to the last episode, where they busted out and said, oh, we didn't mean Peter was the kid. We mean this nebulous character that nobody had heard from until this last moment. And that, so everything that you valued for the entire season, including him being gone and supposedly the linchpin of multiple universes, that didn't really mean anything. So it was just really, it was the bald-headed kid we really meant. That, I thought, to see, because I like
it
Walter.
It was enraging, but I was tired at that point.
Let's see, because I like Walter. That did not hit me as bad and as hard as it may have some of our fringe devotees out there. So if you had been seriously like, when are they going to bring Peter back? For the whole season, remember, because he was the answer. You know, he was the linchpin of the whole thing. Then for him to say, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, it's not actually Peter. It's just a, our bad. Go on with the series, though. That I thought was a little,
moment. That was a lost moment.
That you was hard.
That came out of nowhere for me. It came out of nowhere, but I will give him credit for at least sticking with the general theme of the show, the love of a father for his son.
Yeah.
So it did stick. I'm not going to say it was great writing. I'm saying at least it wasn't it theme-wise, it still fit. It still played into the story they were telling. But I agree with you. It's all about Walter, and that's why I liked the final season. Because John Noble saved every episode. That man can do no wrong. I will officially watch anything with John Noble in it now. Because he chewed scenery up. You know, if he wasn't great as playing the alternate, if he wasn't already great then, seeing him almost become the cocky, arrogant old Walter, then being the new, humble Walter, it was amazing. You know, and the fact that he's been... his character was kind of screwed by the writing, because it's like, if you think about it, the Walter we saw from season 4 onwards didn't have any experience with Peter.
Oh, yeah.
So for him to still play this guy who loves his son, even though he doesn't really know him, you know, acting-wise, I was really glad. And I'm glad, because Fringe could easily end it in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And true. In some ways, it probably should have, because that was a great finale. So,
Daryl?
It kind of took a lot of the thunder I had. but I will say I'm one of the... you know what? I can't say Peter was my only favorite, because it really... my favorites were the three. Were Peter, Olivia, and Walter. But I forget about... what's her name?
Broyles.
What? What is wrong?
Astrid.
I forget about Astrid, the lone soldier who pretty much never gets his due.
Well, he finally remembered her name and told her it was beautiful.
I know, but she's always there. She's always dedicated. She's always there. She never lets them down.
Took a bullet. Right.
Darn right.
She never got any development, or at least enough for me. Personally, she never got enough development.
Yeah, me too. She never, like, it was like, why? What was it that kept her with this group? You know, like, she never had any family that they really talked about besides the father. She never had any other friends.
You never even found out about her father until they showed the alternate Astrid.
Right. You never, and you never got to see that stuff. But it still was that group. I mean, it was that group, and then everyone else who was friends of the group, you know, the captain that, what's his name? The one that,
Broyles.
Yeah. I mean, he was part of the group, and I loved his ending. I mean, he was another one who fell in love with this family. Like these misfits, he just fell in love with this family.
I'm just going to point out the actor who played Broyles, Lance Reddick. I think he's cool, but he plays the same character in every show.
From The Wire? Yes, I met him.
He's always a police captain of some sort who falls in love with a white woman. Every single... and then the show has to...
he was on Law and Order, and he was a murderer.
But was he a series regular?
No.
No, he was a guest.
Yeah, see, series regular. He has to be... it has to last 5 seasons. And he has to have a white woman love interest. Every show.
Let that man do his thing.
Well, I'm not in love with a white woman. I'm just noticing that they probably looked at Wire and said, hey, let's do that again. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he did play the same. I mean, he did kind of play the same guy that had to deal with politics involved, but he still wanted to do a good job. He still wanted to help people.
I think he did it well, and he did it great in a tight white T-shirt. And that's...
Here we go. You know, all I need is Stephanie to come out and just start squealing with Cat.
I tried to get
his back, though. He needs to watch his back, because otherwise, dude from Spartacus is going to take all his jobs.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's going to get done like Michael Clark Duncan did to Ving Rhames.
Oh, my God.
Take all your roles.
Yeah, he's a bit bigger. He's a little bigger, too. Well, that dude a little tough. it had its twists and turns, and I think it always had problems being that it had to worry about whether they were going to get canceled every season. I think that kind of made the writing team schizophrenic on what to do. I mean, that whole thing with Peter installing the tech and turning into an observer, kind of. I love that, and I would have
good, yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that continue.
Let me tell you, I not only was I a fan of that, they totally missed an opportunity, because just before Peter installed his Borg tech, mm-hmm. we had Olivia being like, you know, super Olivia for a season there. So right. between, I mean, if we're talking about really taking down the observers and finding, you know, tools and weaponry to take down the super Olivia team with Borg Peter, I mean, that should have been.
We finally got what we wanted. We got superheroes. That
should have been how the darn season ended, instead of, you know, like, what's his name getting hit by a car? You know, the kid just dropped a car on the guy, and that was it. I was like, really? Really? That's how you're going to kill a time-traveling super genius?
Yeah, Fringe would, I think, if they had told them that, listen, you are going to get this amount of episodes, figure out what you're going to do. I think that it would have been a more cohesive transition from season to season, but it just felt like they were like, last minute, all right, you got another season. And then they're running to try to scramble to figure out what we're going to do with these people now. And you can kind of see that in each thing. But there were just so many storylines that could have taken a show in, because this world was so, it was just a great world. There has not been a world like this created to me this interesting since X-Files in a way. Yeah. And it's just that, you know, where X-Files went too long.
Oh, yeah.
Fringe did, and they were a mess. Fringe didn't get enough time to kind of really do what they were going to, you know, could have done with this show. It is disappointing when I think about it that, you know, that I know there were things that he wanted to do if he had had time. And I know that they had thought about it right. And having Peter not be on, you know, the other season as much, that was a mistake. And they admitted it. Like they call themselves on every choice they make, and they explain it, and they take it, and they accept it, you know, instead of other writers who do it and claim that they wanted to do that all along. You know, I respect them for being
That's a lost dig, isn't it? Well, I mean, I really agree with when you said when Peter turned into like Borg Peter, I really thought what was going to happen was Peter was going to be like Borg Zero, and he was going to be the beginning and the ending of the observers, and whatever he did, he was going to do something like with the kid, where if the kid went back, or he as Peter went back in time and he was Borg number zero, that the observers would have never existed and blah blah blah. But then they like kind of took that direction and then kind of sliced it in half, threw the bald-headed boy in there. Peter's not the one anymore, and of course we got our ending. I mean, it was sweet ending, but man,
Yeah, it could have been.
I sure made us wait for it, because it was some tedious TV watching there for a while.
Yeah, I would.
I think if they had got the 20 episodes they needed instead of like 13 or whatever it was, probably would have gotten a little more fleshed out, or a story that would have made a little more sense. It would have been more gradual rather than that abrupt shift from Peter to the bald-headed kid.
Because I could have saw Peter being the he would have been the observer with the emotions.
Right.
Yeah, and that would have seemed to make the symmetry of the show and reinforced his importance throughout the entire series of why Peter was so important. That made sense.
Yeah, struggling with that journey of trying to get entrapped into not having those emotions, but they couldn't kill the love of his daughter. Yeah. And Walter and Olivia, that would have been such a touching, you know, thing to see as the show progressed, and then tie it all in. I think it would have worked so well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, with both Peter and Walter sort of walking into the you know, warp light or whatever you want to call it at the end to close the loops and everything. And by the way, that is how you close a loop. In
you know,
series. All right, I'm just going to say,
talk
that
about
is
any
how you close a loop. Not that.
You've had your shot on Looper. Okay? Let's not bring it up again. We know you don't like it.
I didn't watch Looper yet, so
okay.
That's that this weekend.
I'm watch. Not gonna say nothing about Looper, man, because
yeah, don't do it. Just
I can tell you right now. I can tell you
hey,
right now.
Carl, shut it down. Shut it down. Okay. So, any final thoughts on Fringe or any last words that you didn't want to get in, anyone?
I will miss Fringe. It was awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I will say thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having characters.
I'll say thank you to the networks. You should treat Fringe like you treated Lost, okay? Give Fringe 7 seasons. Lost shouldn't have got 5 seasons. Right? We all figured Lost out about 2 episodes in, and then you tried to be smarter than everybody.
And what the hell? What the nonsense with the all the stuff with the Chosen on the wall? That didn't really mean that.
Okay. Hey.
I'm just saying. Hey. I'm just saying.
Not to mention, black men can't go to heaven. You notice that?
Yeah, black men don't get to go to heaven.
We don't go to heaven. We don't go to heaven. You can, Kat, if you marry an old white guy.
Oh, dear.
But we can't go.
Okay. Listeners, please, you know, just. Oh, dear. Okay. So, Jamil, shh. Okay. So, 4th anniversary of Sci-Fi Party Line. We've been doing it for 4 years. Yay.
Woo! Congratulations, yeah. Kat. You're holding it down, girl. You're holding it down.
But like, I will say we've been in existence for 4 years. And, you know, maybe touch and go there. But, yeah. Yeah, it's been good.
This is episode, what, 912? What are we on now?
Four. I don't know. No, I don't keep up with that anymore. You know. Hey, yay. So, we're going to talk about a show called Arrow. CW, I've been losing a little bit of faith in them lately. I really missed Smallville when it went off the air. So when they said they were going to do Arrow, I was skeptical, especially because they wasn't using the Arrow from Smallville. They was using some new guy that I'd never heard of and blah, blah. And then I saw his abs and then I was like, oh my God, I have to watch. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Okay.
Stay focused, Kat. Stay focused.
Okay, sorry. And so with Smallville, it took me a long time to really like it because it was slow. It was like very Dawson's Creek to me, and it was just like more emotion. Lana Lang drug everything out, but this to me, Arrow. They said, "Well, we're not gonna have costumes and blah blah. We're gonna do something more realistic and blah blah." So I thought it was gonna be Smallville all over again with the painful love story, and what I got in return was really an action packed show. I mean, a guy that takes his shirt off every episode and his friends. And so but they're like exercising and doing parkour and stuff like that. Okay, anyway, he wears green kind of like Clark Kent did in Smallville, but not all the time, but it's really kind of cool how like the newscast is all in green or whatever, and it's like, oh, we're green. Okay, anyway, but I really appreciate how this show's getting, not just for the abs. I just think every week it really holds my attention and it's not sappy and it's full of action, but it's kind of meaningful in the same way, you know, for a TV show that's on the CW, and that's not really an insult or anything. But I'm really interested to know. Oh, I'm a few episodes behind, but you guys can talk freely-ish. Carl has only seen 5 episodes, and I'm not really sure what his deal is.
Shameful.
I know it is pretty shameful. So, Daryl, is this? So this is a comic book, right? Yes, I know it is. What do you think about this? Because I know you can do the comparison and contrast about like the history of all Green Arrows via TV, movie, comic books. How does this compare to all of Green Arrow stuff out
there? It's funny. This show has done so well that they've actually scrapped the version of Green Arrow that they've done in the DC 52, and pretty much they're starting back the big, pretty much cleaned off all the old storylines for the past 12 or 13 issues, and it's pretty much it looks a lot like how Arrow is on TV, and that's to change for a show to change the look of a comic, because the comic is, was not as successful as the TV show was. So it is really taken. I mean, it is not a shot for shot exactly how the comic is. I mean, they named it Starlin City instead of Star City. Little minor stuff. It really doesn't matter. But I mean, but they still kept the heart of it. You know, Oliver, you know, being irresponsible, and then through tragedy and the island, being stuck on the island, he's forced to see, you know, how much of a jerk he's been, and how much he took him for granted, and he trains himself on the island. So that stuff is basically from the comic, and they kept that in. The difference is with Arrow, they gave him a kind of a straight purpose with the book and looking, you know, in the list of people who are bad that they have to take down one name at a time. That stuff is different, but I think it was kind of important for the show to kind of give it a purpose instead of getting caught up in the, you know, it's trying to figure out who's going to fight him every week.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do the mask. You kind of don't want to do the silly, you know, villains, because Green Arrow has some silly, you know, villains that he fights, and you don't want to do the trick arrows, and you don't want to fall into that kind of thing. So they kind of darkened Green Arrow, which was, I think, I appreciate more. And you kind of give him that he's not a hero kind of thing. I mean, he's trying to do the right thing, but he's not. His thing is he will kill when necessary. You know, those are things that he will do. He will do some kind of bad things sometimes to get something done or to get the person that he needs to get. So even sometimes he loses his purpose because he's not out fighting carjackers and purse snatchers and stuff like that. But you slowly get that from each character where you could be something more than just the guy after the rich bad guys. You can do more than that for the city.
Yeah.
So they're going that way.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Jamil?
Well, I think, you know, it's good. I mean, the most important thing to remember about Green Arrow is that he was a ripoff of Batman.
Feels like it.
He was
totally. I mean, down to where he had the Arrow car and the Arrow cave.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that on the TV show, and I thought they were just joking.
That was a shout out to originally. He was totally a ripoff of Batman.
Oh my god!
So, what they've done here, I think, is that they are leaning heavily on one particular story, kind of like Batman. You know, nowadays people lean heavily on the Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight Returns. They're leaning heavily on Kevin Smith's Longbow Hunters, where he took Green Arrow and made him deadly.
Oh, not Kevin Smith.
No,
you're talking about Mike Grell's
Longbow. There you go, Mike Grell, Longbow Hunters. But it was Longbow Hunters that I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he took away the trick arrows, and people were getting shot, you know? And so I think that leaning on that, and that gives you a basis in reality. And I agree with Daryl about the book. The book is the most important thing they've given to the mythos of the Green Arrow, because it gives him a reason besides, I was a rich guy and now I'm fighting. Because when you just go with that, he's Batman.
Yeah.
He's Batman. So you have to give him something else to make him not Batman. And I do like the book. My only beef with him is that he's supposed to be fighting the rich guys, yet poor people are the only ones who die. You know, he's... but the rich people... He comes up, he's like, you failed the city. And then, like, they get a chance to, you know, make right, you know. But the poor schmuck who's just picked up, you know, a couple extra hours because he's trying to get overtime, you know, working security detail, you know, he's on the phone like, yeah, honey, I'll be home. And I was like, Arrow, I'm dead. You know, like, what did he do?
You know, this poor guy,
he's just trying to earn a living. You know, he's dead.
He just applied a job as henchman. Why are y'all bugging? Come on, give me a little.
You know, it's funny.
if they really are, like, I love the writing on the show, but I really want to see, like, next season, him to accidentally create a supervillain because he killed somebody and, like, his wife, like, lost her house and everything, and, like, she turns into a villainess and comes after him. That has to happen. It has to happen.
Did you see the most recent one, last night episode?
No, not last night. I didn't watch.
Well, they added Felicity, who they added, which she is a character. I think in one of the comics, she is a character. She's the hot nerd.
She's from Firestorm. She was right. Firestorm's. The name was used as Firestorm's stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's the same. I don't know if it's the
no,
same.
No, it's not the same. I don't think it's the same. Yeah, but the name. No, I
know where they got the name from.
But she says to, they're going out to take out this guy who pretty much used the pyramid type scheme to get some money to pay for something. And she actually looked the guy up completely and saw he had a child and he's just, you know, like he's struggling and stuff like that. And she told him, she said, well, instead of going out and pounding on this guy and killing him, why don't you go after, you know, real villains, you know, real people that are really doing bad things. So it's there. I think that they added her to kind of give Diggle, and you know, it's her and Diggle kind of being his conscience to kind of, exactly, you know, give him that perspective. Like, you live the rich life. Like, you can't just go after everybody. Doesn't have the same situation you did.
Yeah, because I mean, he is. What was cool is, I'm like, first I was like, yeah, he is murdering fools. Like, I didn't expect to see that on the CW. Then I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute. There's like 20 guys who died in this one episode, and the only guy who was doing something bad was the dude who got to live, you know? And if you notice, they've switched it out. Now they're making it a point to point out that all the guys are hiring security. You know what I mean? They made it a point to go, oh, he's got security, and these are gangsters. They're like, they're trying to remind you, okay, he's not killing, you know, 99%ers. For a while, I was like, wait, is he supposed to be he's supposed to be, and you know, he's Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. You know, give back to these people you stole from. I'm like, you just killed half the people he stole from, dude. Like, what are you doing?
And you know? they added Roy Harper, and he is one of the 99%.
Exactly.
Like, he is one of the kids living on the street. So he is going to be part of the show eventually. And I think it would be kind of cool to see Oliver have to deal with a kid who he came from the street. He didn't come from, you know, trust fund baby.
He was this Robin?
Well, Green Arrow has a sidekick. He's either been Arsenal or Speedy.
Right. He started out Speedy.
Yeah, and then he became Arsenal. And it's kind of messed up because he was a drug addict named Speedy, which is just wrong. But,
he was Red Arrow. Yeah, he was Red Arrow and the whole thing.
If you notice, that's the reason when I think Thea found the wallet of Roy Harper and it had an 8-ball on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
that was a joke. Like, oh, it's got an 8-ball on his wallet. Ha ha. You know. But in other stories, Thea has been Speedy. So they can go either way. Either his sister or Roy Harper can become
they threw it in there that she was good with a bow. Remember? She won a contest when she was, you know, a younger kid. She won these archery contests.
Yeah, so that's incredible. I like that they're playing with it. They can go any way they want, you know. I think this has the ability to redefine Green Arrow for DC the way Christopher Reeve redefined Superman. I mean, Superman was drawn one way, and then Christopher Reeve played him, and then it was drawn another way.
Right.
He's had a spit curl for the past 4 years, like Christopher Reeve did, you know. So I think this iteration of Green Arrow may redefine Green Arrow for a lot of people. And I think that's great. The actor's awesome. I can't remember his name off the top of my head now, but he was actually one of the finalists to play the new Spartacus.
Stephen Amell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course you know the name, don't you?
Well, he's been in fashion magazines because the women are loving him. So Arrow is quite popular.
He was one of the final three to play Spartacus. Liam barely beat him out. So, so you know if he's made it that far in the selection for Spartacus, you know he's a great actor. I think the creepiness that he brought to the first episode, he's so creepy. You can see he's damaged from being on this island.
There's been criticism, and some of my buddies have really criticized the show for the actor, saying that he does really have a personality.
What?
And I calm down.
Damaged. Yeah.
But I point out and I look at it and I'm like, he's playing this man who is pretty much destroyed on the island and built back up.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to have that, like, he really is playing this, I have to act like I'm a, you know, human, but they're just things that I don't care about anymore. You know, right. That there's always, he is always on mission. He's always looking, he's always, you know, thinking about, you know, what he has to do. It's like, he's almost like a robot when he's around his family and friends.
Yeah.
Which I like.
What I mean about it being the anti-Smallville, because Smallville was about Clark being normal and learning how to be Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is about Green Arrow being Green Arrow and learning how to be Ollie again.
Mm.
So like three seasons down the road, we might see a more fun, you know, I'm having fun with this whole superhero mm-hmm. thing, Ollie, with a sidekick, maybe, you know, four seasons down the road. But right now, he's Green Arrow all the time.
Well, Felicity and Diggle, which in this episode where she's pretty much a part of the team, they mm-hmm. kind of go to great lengths to show her, like saying to him, why don't you ask that cop out that you used to hang out with?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask him on a date? And then she said to Diggle, why don't you ask your ex-sister-in-law? You know you like her. Ask her on a date. So she's kind of making them remember that you're doing all this stuff for the city. But it's for a reason. Like, you have to have some type of life also. So it's worked. I think I like that. Like, they're trying to bring him out and put him in situations that he's not comfortable with, which is the fun part of Arrow. It isn't just completely dark. You know, there is those fun scenes of him trying to, you know, live again. And they kind of got away from that Dinah will they or won't they thing. Which gets tired really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may see a triangle between Felicity, Dinah, and Ollie.
It'll come, but I don't want to see it every. Like, Smallville had it like every two.
Every episode. Oh my god!
That was terrible.
I can't. I hate Kristen Crook now. It's not even her fault. I just hate it.
It's true. It's true.
I can't watch Beauty and the Beast. I tried.
There's a good reason you can't watch Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for Beauty and the Beast.
So what do y'all
at the bottom of the list?
So what do y'all think about Captain Jack from Torchwood on this show?
Amazing.
Love it.
Amazing. This show has the greatest cast. Harry Dresden is a cop.
Captain, I know!
Captain Jack is a, you know, the bad guy. River Song is coming. Crixus is Deathstroke. River Song is going to be either
a flashback. I'm scared now. I am totally scared because
she can't kill this show. I'm telling you.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. She is cancellation bait. I love her to death, but when you see her, the end is nigh.
Alpha. She killed my alphas, man.
Dude,
they were doing good too.
I don't think so.
Alphas, man. They only had one good character.
All it took was one episode for me to know.
Yeah, Alphas only had one good character. Out of all the characters, there was only one good one. That was
the
Gary.
Black one, right?
No, Gary, the autistic
hacker.
Dude.
The hacker.
That was the best character in science fiction.
I totally disagree. Actually, he's not the only one. I like that show, but we argue about that.
It was a good show. Don't get me wrong, it was a good show, but the only character I really liked was Gary because it was different than anything else out there and dealt with his disability with respect. So, mm-hmm. No.
So, Carl, why, before I brought it up and prodded you, did you only bother to watch two episodes of Arrow?
Mr. Superman.
Yeah, okay. So, I got to be honest. I got to be truthful here. It had a lot to do with you, Kat. It was all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why is, I sat down and I watched the first episode of Arrow when it came on. And the production value was good. The acting was good. They could actually fight. You know, come on. A lot of times shows claim they got an action program on, but you watch the fight scenes, and it's like, that is just not right. You know, you can just see people taking turns and stuff. So costuming was good. Acting was good. The budget was good. Special effects were good, you know. I said, oh, no. And Kat likes it, too. This is destined to be canceled. That was what I said when I first saw it. Because I was like, look, the fact that Arrow, you know, he's not a major character or anything. You know how CW is sometimes, you know. So I'm like, man, this ain't going to make it. Because everything seemed to be good about the show. But I said, I watched the next episode. And one of the things, I mean, when I say the writing is good, they make plausible dynamics between the characters, where they set up stuff, how things occur, all of that just fits well together. Of course, the bat cave or the arrow cave is under a club. That totally makes sense that it would be underneath a club like that. He's got plenty of room. He's a rich kid, playboy, all of this stuff. And just one piece at a time, how these characters came out, what they were doing, it all really made sense and it fit together well. So I was like, oh yeah, this ain't gonna make it. That was my first concern. The next thing is, you know, once they started bringing out the crimes that Errol was trying to solve, I don't know if y'all watch or you gone back to watch Knight Rider. I used to like Knight Rider back in the day, right? So I'm going back to watch Knight Rider. And you know, anytime you revisit your 80s, you're like, oh. But so, you know, they have these episodes where, you know, they've got Michael Knight and the crew, supercar and AI, and the crimes that they were trying to thwart were, someone's defrauding a rodeo. You know, who cares? You know, so I'm watching Arrow, and you know, and he's going through the dossier of the villains, and he says something like, and he sold defective smoke detectors. I was like, are you kidding me? Come on now. Can I get some real villains? So
is villainous. People can die from that.
Oh, yes, smoke inhalation. And next, what, bad air filters? That I just, you know, I was like, wow. So there's ozone in their units.
The smoke detector breaks.
Kids and they want to save their life. You just wait. You know, if your robot lived and it died from smoke inhalation, you'd be.
My next concern, because you know, it's still right on the heels of the whole attack of the Arrow heroes. You know, we got Hawkeye, we got Hunger Games. So I was like, okay, great, another Arrow. So I was like, this, you know, I'm not a tremendous fan of Arrow heroes, but I said it's still all right. I'm gonna give it a shot. So my question is, you know, like I said, I'm only five in, so you guys tell me. You kind of hinted at this and I agree with this. Is there a reasonable supervillain on the horizon?
Do you need a mustache twirly guy?
No, it doesn't have to be corny, but you do need somebody more than just bad landlords and these are your checking people off of the list.
Yes, it does get better.
Okay, all right. I can say that without it surprising you because it's still a surprise when Merlin's revealed.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means. So
I don't even know what's going to be with Deadshot because they have kind of twisted and wound
because you know from what I saw he was supposed to be dead. So you know that's
Deadshot missed too much for me. that's the problem with Arrow heroes though and Arrow villains because you got these guys who are essentially snipers. Mm-hmm. And then they fight each other and they miss a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Because they're both really good and they can thwart each other.
That doesn't mean you missing. That just means you should both be hit and dead. Like
it'd be a short season though.
It should both be dead. That's my only beef. So that's why I like that they're working in Deathstroke. I think Deathstroke will probably be the overarching villain of maybe the series because they're gonna have a really rich history by the time Manu Binet comes back into the series as a villain.
Yeah,
so,
and I don't
so Deathstroke,
know.
Captain Jack.
No,
Deathstroke, Manu
the island. Deathstroke is someone's on the island.
Is he what the white on the one side, black on the one side, half faced guy?
Yeah,
that guy. But, okay.
Eventually, Manu Binet, the guy who plays Crixus, he's in there. I don't know. You haven't seen him yet, but he comes in. He's gonna be Deathstroke.
Nice.
So. And he has a lot of ties in, like China White, who appears, I think, in a third episode. She's related to him.
Yeah.
I think by the time they're done telling that story, there's going to be enough backstory that it's going to be that Clark-Lex relationship where there's so much hate between the two, you know, that he'll be a really great villain. And because he fights with swords, you don't have to, you know, that's the one thing. I don't like Arrow guys going at it. I don't like Merlin versus Green Arrow because really they should both shoot each other's eyes out. Like, it should be over. Like, you know, I mean, and I don't know if you guys saw, but there is one fight between Merlin and Ollie. It doesn't end well for Ollie.
Not exactly sure it's going to be who we think is going to be Deathstroke. We might be told that's going to be Deathstroke.
Well, I mean, he already introduced himself as Slade Wilson. So
yeah, but I don't know if Slade, after watching those episodes on the island, which is also something I like too, where you still get that steady flow of information from the island. Yeah. I'm not too sure that there's two people that wear that mask.
Are you? But Slade killed his homie.
He's on the floor. That didn't mean he's dead. and remember, he hit him in the eye. Remember,
that's true.
Deathstroke's eye. He has an eye patch.
Well, you see, Deathstroke is black on the one side, and that has no eye slit. And then the orange side does have an eye slit. So in the comic, Slade wears an eye patch. So
Carl, aren't you thinking about Let That Be Your Last Battlefield?
I did. That was the first thing. As soon as you said black on the left, I was like, wait a minute.
Okay, but, sorry.
I've seen the comic book, so it's coming back to me.
I'll just throw it out there. Remember, they have those herbs that can heal if you get to somebody fast enough. And that guy on the island knows that.
Yeah. And I don't think Merlin, the Merlin we see now, is going to be the Merlin who's the actual villain who faces off against Arrow either.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is. I think by the time we're done, maybe 2.5 seasons in, we'll have two villains that have a lot of history directly with Ollie and Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they'll both be villains who aren't necessarily deadly to Ollie, who are more comparable to him. So I think what we'll see is you'll get your mustache twirly villains, but they'll be grounded, they'll be based, and there'll be a lot of history between them. So the audience who's never read a comic will understand why these guys hate Ollie.
That's exactly what I want.
They're setting it up for this show to be very good for at least two or three more seasons.
Nice. Right.
And it's not just one city. Whoever this little organization is, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll see. I hate to say this, but I'm sure we'll see like Vibe or something. You know, street level DC heroes. I'm pretty sure we'll see other street level heroes before it's all said and done. We won't see a Batman. But I guarantee you we'll see Vibe. Jeff Johns wills it to be such.
I don't know. They haven't showed abilities yet. They've made sure that at least this season so far, everyone who is somebody who is even a villain, even the Firefly, they kind of didn't give them any type of abilities.
Well, you can't. You can't just yet, which is why they did such a huge change to Vertigo. Because if you bring in Poppers, your main hero looks kind of weak.
Yeah,
And then people might stop watching because of it.
Because you can't just throw metas in and just... Right.
Once, what you'll see is you'll see a sea change once they finally let Black Canary in. Once they will let Black Canary in.
One and what's her deal?
She has like a sonic screen.
Oh, okay.
So and
that still can be explained away with some science blah blah though.
Yes, she's gonna get some sort of like collar or something that lets her.
Yeah,
they could do that. Yeah,
you know, but once they bring Black Canary in, and it has to happen because that's like having Superman without Lois Lane. You can't have.
Well, I will have to say DC Comics. Even Mark Guggenheim, who does it, he and Andrew Kreuzberg, they both are doing comics right now. Like, they're both doing the Arrow comic, and they worked in comics for years. They're kind of, in the DC 52, they kind of got away from the Ollie Dinah thing. They're not together at all. They don't even know each other in this incarnation. So they might not do that. They just might not.
You know more. I haven't read DC at all, really, since the New 52 started, so you know more than me on that one.
Yeah, they're not together. They took that away. They took that away.
Yeah, I just can't, you know, I they've been together for my entire life, so I want to see them succeed. They love each other so much.
But they might hold off on that because...
Yeah, but I think either way, if they do bring in Canary and Alex Kingston, River Song, her appearance has a lot to do with Black Canary.
Wait a second. Yeah. She's going to be on this show?
Yep.
Yes!
I thought you knew that.
I did not know that.
She got confused. When you said River, she was thinking from Terminator and from...
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought you were talking about the other River.
Oh, yeah. She's a show killer. No,
yeah, that's what Kat was, yeah.
Oh, so you said, oh, okay. I was totally thinking about River from Firefly and not River Song. I'm sorry.
Stanley Jr. No.
Oh, okay, then now the show is saved.
Now it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and her appearance has a lot to do with Black Canary.
You think so, she is Black Canary?
So I think if they do introduce Black Canary, that opens the door up. And like I said, there'll be street level heroes. You're not going to see Superman. You're not going to see Martian Manhunter or anything like that. You'll see like Vibe, a Nightwing, because they have mentioned Bloodhaven. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. So
if they bring in Clark Kent, that'll be weird.
If he appears, he'll appear as a newscaster reporting from Metropolis on something that happened in Starling City.
And that's just really gonna upset me, because if it is not, you know, the guy from Smallville, I'm gonna be upset.
What if it's Brandon Ruth?
I would go for that. So this, I don't know. It has some really exciting things going on. I'm really enjoying the show. I know I'm behind, but I really enjoy it. And I'm just really surprised that it feels like we're getting away with something by having something so good on. Carl, I do, you know, kind of agree with you. It's like, I don't trust getting too comfortable with this show, because it's got too many good things going on. But I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. And I think they're doing a really good job on it.
And I will continue to watch it. I feel better now. At least I've got basically a whole season to get through now. Yeah. So I'm feeling good, and what you guys are telling me is making me feel even better.
Yeah. Now there will be a clunker or two.
Yeah, I'm going to warn you. One or two is all right. I don't, you know, look, I'm an old school fan. I can handle it.
Hell yeah. He watched Heroes. So.
Hey.
Oh. Sadomasochism.
You can get through this. You can get through two called clunkers here and there. You can get through that.
Yeah.
Did you watch Heroes season 4?
Yes, we did. And he forced me to watch Heroes.
He watched it through a keyhole.
You did force me. We got to put on podcast, Cat.
I watched it. I listened.
You simply nothing.
I simply had
you
faith
can watch Heroes, man. Goodness.
Yeah, of course, Charles. I remember that. You kept telling us she had to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it could get better. It could get better.
You said that too. And then they had a circus. And then they had a carnival.
I didn't believe it at the circus. At the circus, that was just fun, man. That was crazy. That was crazy.
Okay, guys, so that is Arrow, and we're going to move on to The Walking Dead, which keeps getting better and better. I don't know where to start here, but you know what? I am going to start with Carl and Woodbury and his prediction.
Okay. Yes.
The prediction that everything was going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, yeah. Now, granted, I still thought that the demise should have been brought on by a Merle and what's her name? Something that between them two should have brought it down. But yes, come on. You can't have an idyllic dollhouse city in the middle of zombie infested, you know, continent and think that everything was just going to, you know, music box on out. I knew something was going to happen. That was going to calamity.
Are you guys Walking Dead series readers?
No.
We don't have our expert. Well, Daryl?
I read.
Okay, yeah, he does.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. I was about to say, then it shouldn't have shot you. Matter of fact, it gets a lot worse. Even if they just use the major story beats.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm sorry. I'll probably be the naysayer for this one. I'm a little bit disappointed.
Right.
Wow!
Why?
It's feeling a little weak. The Rick going crazy. That's feeling a little weak to me. It's just not.
Yeah.
His portrayal is just not. Yeah. It's not working for me right now.
Not my favorite part.
Yeah.
I think the worst problem is that for the longest time you're supposed to be hating the governor, mm-hmm. and they've done nothing this series to make him look like a worse leader than Rick. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, think about it from the average person in Woodbury's point of view. The governor is awesome, and this crazy guy has busted in your home twice now and shot everybody up.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they've done nothing. Even if you're just a viewer, Rick's going crazy, and the governor's – I mean, he's crazy, but he's keeping it together. Rick is crazy to the point he's endangering everyone else.
If I didn't see what he did to – or almost do to Maggie, if I didn't see that would be that's the only thing making me think, okay, this guy gotta go.
So fish tank heads did not do it for you.
I mean, obviously he's crazy, but that's no, you know,
well, from that. But I'm talking about from the audience looking in. No one knew about those fish heads, but him. I'm talking about if you're the people in the group in the town.
I was trying to defend that the whole time, and y'all was making fun of me. I say anybody that can maintain a city with sheets and towels and clean water and barbecue, I'm down. I don't care if he does keep pigs and fish tanks. Everybody has to have a hobby. You know,
but even from the reader's point of view, I'd rather have a guy wind down by looking at some fish tank heads, than have a guy who wanders outside looking for his dead wife.
Yeah.
And then when you're about to get attacked and you know some people are coming to kill you and you've got a cool dude with like three more good arms who can hold some guns and help you shoot and you tell him to leave. You know, he kicked Tyrese out, which is dumb.
He kicked Tyrese out. He kicked Michonne out.
Yeah.
Because why? Cause, oh, she abandoned us. Dude, she just went to go, like, stab a dude in the eye, and then she came back.
But she just, it was just too shoehorned in to make me, you know, like, oh, Rick has to fail. Like, he has to fail a little bit to not be the perfect leader. And they're trying too hard to do that.
I agree.
The biggest problem is that I'm not a huge reader of the comics, mm-hmm. but no one in the show is as competent as they are in the comics.
No one.
Michonne is like the badass.
She answers questions. Like,
yeah. She's an issue. Yeah. Okay. She's not Wolverine.
No. You know,
she answers questions. She's Rick's second in command. He depends on Tyrese and Michonne throughout the entire series.
Right now, she's just like a glorified Teal'c.
Yeah. Well, the problem is with this sword, you know, and I don't talk. It's the exact. I mean, I understand. You know, people who read the comics and are disappointed in the show. I have a lot of friends who, when I say, "Hey guys, I'm on this podcast and we're talking about Walking Dead," they're gonna listen. So to all my friends who read comic books and don't like the show, get over it.
No, boom.
It is not.
Any that don't like it either. That don't like show. To read the comic.
The show and the comic are not the same thing. They can't be.
No.
I mean. Would you rather watch, now that it's passed, Maggie's position in the show, the way she was treated by the governor, was actually Michonne in the comic. And it was a lot worse. A hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, she was actually...
I wouldn't want to see that acted out.
Me either, especially when you keep killing all the black people.
Exactly. So what now has happened in the comic book?
There was no Maggie. It was
Maggie doesn't who exist.
Captured... And the governor did violate her and beat her.
So this will kind of make Stephanie happy because she's been... Oh, no. She wants Merle and Michonne to get together, not the governor. Okay. So yeah. I'm kind of disturbed by that right now because I didn't really know that.
It was brutal. Brutal.
And the eye, and the losing the eye, that... Michonne did that, but she did it with a poker. If I remember right, it was the poker she used on him. She violated him with the poker and then stabbed him.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yes. I don't know why they didn't have that on AMC.
Yeah.
I should have just been on the program there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's Walking Dead, you know, through the mid issues, I say about after issue 40 to about issue 60 or so. Mm-hmm. It's just this side of torture porn. I mean, the stuff that Kirkman does to his characters can't be on television.
Yeah.
It could be on Stars, let alone AMC. You know, so a lot
of Kirkman wanted to kill. Kirkman wanted to do the originally for the first season or the second part of the second season. He wanted to write that Sophia and Carl get lost from the group. And she gets bit and turns into a zombie, and he has to shoot her and kill her. And then you see him walk back to the group, and that's just one of his, you know, thing he had to deal with. And that would be his, you know, one of his issues. And they were like, you can't have a kid kill another kid. In the comic, yes, he could.
Yeah.
But on TV, there are things that you can't, you know, that they'd have a problem with.
They even softened Shane's death. In the comic, Carl kills Shane in cold blood.
Yeah.
There's no, oh, he's a zombie. Mm-hmm. It's get your hands off my dad. I'm going to blow your brains out. Right. And that's when Rick first realizes Carl's got issues from being in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot darker in the comic. So my only beef is that, you know, my beef with people who read the comic and read the show, you have to understand that these stories can't be told on television. And in reality, Kirkman's running the show, so this is essentially a do-over for him. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick's not going to get his hand cut off in this show because that's just not feasible. In a show for the main character to be handicapped like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's going to be a lot of different changes. So you got to get over it being different. But at the same time, I can see why they would be ticked off, because nobody in the show is as competent as they are in the comic. People don't communicate, and it creates false drama. You know, you don't need that much drama between the characters. You have a huge set of enemies, especially with the governor and Woodbury, that you don't need drama between the main cast as well. At least not that much.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, Carl, what do you think so far? Is it?
Well, I mean, look, I agree with the gentleman here. They're saying everything that, you know, that I'm feeling. I'm just happy that the show is continuing to be competent. You know, sometimes when they wander into like the third season, stuff starts to jump the shark and go off the rails. I am a little
second
disappointed.
Season.
I mean, well, they did sneak a part scene a little early, didn't they? But no, seriously though. I mean, they've done a good job of keeping the momentum up, keeping the pacing up, keeping the plausibility for the most part up. I agree completely with, you know, Michonne is unnecessarily quiet. I mean, you know, there are moments where if she had just said one thing,
yep,
everything else could have been simpler. People would be alive. Situations would be. And so that's it doesn't make sense why she would not say anything at all. You know, so that's a bit frustrating. And I am a little worried about the portrayal of Rick, too, because, you know, he's always been one of my favorites on the show. And I understand if there comes a point where we need to knock the hero down a little bit. But how that is done, especially for such an important character, means a lot. It's got to be believable. It's got to be plausible. You got to feel it with the audience. It's got to be real in some way. And what's happening from just flying off the handle like that, from the phone to what we're seeing now, it feels forced. I agree, guys. It just feels forced, and that's kind of a problem. But come on now. You know, in the entire scope of what the show is doing, what everything else the show's been able to do, I'm still having a great time. It's a fun season. The prison was a great, great spot to be. You know, and everything that's going on there is interesting. So I'm loving it. You know, Walking Dead. I'm glad it's back. Having a great time.
So is Tyrese going to come back, or is that the extent of his appearance? Because that was extremely disappointing.
Oh, he's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, he's got him. He's a huge part of the cast.
That's what I've heard. And so for him to like make a quick exit like that, I was glad he didn't die. But I was also like really disappointed that we didn't see more. So do you think we're going to be seeing like maybe an alternate, you know, story A, story B with their journeys, or do the two groups or the three groups converge at one point?
Well, they kind of. I mean, that's what I'm saying about the way they wrote this last couple of episodes, where it's like, hey, we can we stay? No, they can't stay. And then everything is, wow, we sure needed more people when they came to attack us. We don't have enough. Wow, we sure needed an extra pair of hands. You know, so like they kept hitting you over the head over and over again. You know,
I think we'll just make a rescue. I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah.
I think he may be the new version of Shane, in that he's a character who will live in the show far longer than he did in the comics. Because if they had followed the comics exactly, Shane would have died in like the third episode.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So,
which he regretted too.
Yeah, exactly. With Tyrese, I'm hoping that he doesn't make a Pyrrhic save, because really we're at the point in the story where Tyrese really should have been in the show for a while. I think he was dating Carol by this time. And then he gets killed by the governor.
So he broke up with Carol, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And started dating Michonne.
There you go.
Wow. What?
But we're actually at the point where the character Tyrese is in danger of dying. So if they keep that story beat, he's gonna pull a T-Dog. You know, he's going to come in, or not T-Dog, what was the other prisoner's name? He's going to come in and die just like that guy.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah, that was.
Well, you know what was cold is like, I think there's like some sort of magical rule that in this alternate Georgia, only one black man can be alive at a time.
Tyrese's sister,
the black dude joined, the moment like he shook hands, the black prisoner, T Dog got bit. It was like,
and you know, you know now that Michonne is here. As soon as you know Michonne is not going anywhere, Tyrese's sister is going to get killed. She's out.
Oh, yeah. Apparently in Georgia, you can only have one. And like, black people are Highlanders in this Georgia.
You You can only have a pair.
I'm hoping that if they kill all the, if Tyrese takes out the black dude in the governor's cap, he'll release the quickening and like.
Oh, no. I was waiting for that. Yeah,
the strongest Negro in the
world. Okay, okay, guys, calm down. Jeez, oh god. So this latest episode that aired Sunday, I really enjoyed some of, I think, the sound, some of the Foley, I guess. The gunshots, the way they sound, they came out, the way they kind of had not music overpowering the action scenes, but just really muted, big, thumpy, heavy gunshots, the way they moved the camera. It was kind of not really shaky cam, but it was just really like, it was kind of like a war movie to me.
Realistic.
And, yeah, and it was very, very well shot. So I really appreciated the look of the latest episode. And it felt like they've done something very different than what they've done always on the show. So I don't know if there was a new director or they decided just to do something new. But whatever it was, I really enjoyed it. Did any of you guys notice that? How did you respond to it?
Well, the bullet, when the bullet hit... I forgot the inmate that got killed.
Oh, yeah.
He got T-dogged.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah. It kind of, I like how they, I don't know what they did different, but this is kind of how gunfire really is. It's not a epic moment. It's a bullet could hit you, and you could be alive 1 minute, and you could be dead the next. It's there's nothing else, you know, there's no other way to do it. You know, it could just happen. And I like how they did it. He just was out. He got hit in the head and he was gone.
I knew because he was talking, because he was talking so much and we were beginning to like him, and him and Carol were beginning to flirt, and I was feeling a little...
That's Kirkman.
Yeah, I was feeling a little worried about him.
That's a Kirkman, thing to get you to like a character or to get you to feel like, wow, this could really be home. As soon as the character starts saying things like that, like, I think I could see myself, you know, surviving. You're dead.
Yeah. He's like the George R.R. Martin of comic writers. Like, he'll kill anybody at any time.
Smiley people don't live.
Oh, dear.
I like the whole shootout. I love the fact that they had no dialogue for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the action tell the story, which was good. You know, the only thing that threw me off is the governor was aiming through the sight with his bandage eye. But other than that, it was
good. That was sad.
Like, are you really doing that, dude? Like, no one saw that editing? Like, hey, this. No one saw this? Like, okay, all right.
We can't reshoot. We ran out of money. We can't.
Something was weird about the way he just left himself, like, really wide open.
Well, that's because he didn't care. He was showing us that he's really bad. So that's
like he was smiling and stuff. It just felt misplaced. But I guess, you know, he's crazy. I just don't really buy his craziness. Like, yeah.
He has all that craps to give. He is all out of them. He ran out of craps to give like months ago. And that's why he was just standing out of there like I go ahead, take me out. Because I think when Michonne took his daughter, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, this version of the governor, he was all about that daughter. He was hoping that one day they were going to find a cure and he's going to get his daughter back. You know, seeing your daughter, he still thought of that as his daughter.
Yep.
So when he saw that go, man, that was it.
And then he lost his eye.
Yeah, that was it, man.
Now he's mythic Darth Vader now. Like, Rick, exactly. Must come to me, Rick. Come to me.
So what do you think about the Maggie Glenn thing? Their little tension.
Glenn needs to calm down, little guy. Calm down.
Chill out, Glenn. I mean, but Glenn was more worried about what he thought happened than actually happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a little offensive.
I think it's realistic. You know, it's how a guy who went through that reacted. He feels emasculated because he was beaten, you know, and he's trying to assert his alpha maleness. You know, it makes sense.
Right.
I think it's a good development, and I love the development between Maggie's dad and him.
Yeah,
because he was kind of lightweight racist at first, and now he thinks of his son. So I think that's great character development. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best character development on the show right now.
But I think they did a better job of showing Glenn kind of falling and being the favorite. Like, he was very likable. And I think that if they had used that way of showing Rick, you know, failing, instead of trying to show him as being crazy, just show him making a bad decision in battle or something like that, like he did, like running off when he shouldn't have, and not thinking and not, you know, really thinking out what he should do. That's how you show Rick, you know, kind of missing things.
Mm-hmm. So how is he surviving outside of the gate walking around?
He's Rick.
Okay, thanks, Carl.
He's level five zombie destroying ninja. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't, you know, he has an orb of protection and a plus five zombie kill to his
If you think about it, he has managed to lead this raggedy bunch through the woods, through the hills, all, and that's with them making noise and complaining. So, you know, him tipping around by himself with a big magnum, I think he'll be all right.
Okay.
He's level nine in zombie killer.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he's level
so,
nine.
Rick wanted to get rid of Michonne. Why is she sleeping out in a, like...
sleeping in the bus, right?
She's sleeping, yeah, she's sleeping in, what's this, Dale's RV.
Yeah, that's she knows what the side that her bread is buttered on, you know. And plus, you got to remember, the rest of the group isn't, like, down with Rick kicking everybody out. So I think, you know, it's unsaid, but she's probably reached a happy medium. Where I'm not leaving. We're not going to make you leave. But you can't exactly be in here because Rick's flipping out.
Yeah, I mean, she survived out in the woods, you know, with the jawless twins for, you know, years prior. So
and a whiner.
That's
a whiner.
Remember ever.
So this is vacation for her. That's a nice place.
Who drove the zombie hippie van?
Well, they had a mask on and all the other stuff. So just random henchmen.
It looked like a woman. No, that looked like a woman.
Stephanie said she thought it was Andrea.
Yeah, I was hoping it was her, so I could just hate her out in the open because I want to hate her.
I
want to hate her.
I wouldn't believe it. I would like that if it was her, but that means she's not coming back. Like if that's her, she's out. Like
maybe she did it to save them. What? Because I'm still fighting for Andrea. I'm still fighting for her.
She is the worst person ever.
No.
What? Just because of what? Why?
Every decision she's ever made, the entire show, has been detrimental to everyone else.
What has she done?
Except maybe Mary. You know, she was in there.
Yeah. She's horrible.
She's made bad decisions.
She's a badass in the comic too.
Yeah,
she's awesome in the comic, but this show version of her, she's just a moron.
She's a leech.
Yeah, that too.
She leeches on to whoever she thinks has more power. There was a time when, remember, she was going to even leech on Merle.
Yeah.
But then when she found out, oh, there's somebody in charge of you called the governor? All right, Merle, I'm out. And then she started flirting with the governor. Like, she loves power. She was flirting with Michonne, like the way that her and Michonne, it was like she was a wife.
Yeah.
The way she latched onto Michonne, like anybody that could, that was has a stronger personality than her, she seems to just fall into sway with.
Even Shane, she was Shane's girl,
right? To the point where she doesn't even think.
Yeah,
she stops thinking for herself because Rick was a punk until Rick took out Shane. Then Rick was all right.
Yeah,
and then she just moves from one to the other to the other. So. She's a problem.
Yeah.
She's a problem.
Oh, I'm still pulling for her, but I think she's going to die.
If you want to like her, go read the comic, because you ain't going to like her on the show.
Yeah.
No.
She ain't dying because you don't like her. She's not going
to. No. Yeah.
She's going to make it back into the group and cause major deaths. You know,
she's conflict. She causes conflict, so she's going to be the one that they're going to...
Okay, so Maggie's sister, what's up with her? She has now taken care of the baby, and she's kind of flirting with Rick now a little, maybe? No,
I don't know.
And I think she's just, Rick is just a strong parent, male, dominant person, and she just wants to help. This is her way of helping for not being useless.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She doesn't have that look in the eye like...
She did. It was looked like she was doing some little puppy dog into Rick, and I was like, wrong moment. So maybe I was just misreading that.
I think she did. I think she... Admiration.
Yeah. I think for her crazy admiration.
You saved my father.
Exactly.
You said, like, you did something where on this world I have not seen anyone survive a bite. You saved my dad. That was all I had left, my dad and my sister. You let us out of that place. You saved them. You're keeping us, safe for the most part. So Rick is her hero.
All right.
I think she's playing with house money right about now too, because most of the farm folk are gone by now.
Yeah, she's
playing with house money, and so she's just happy to be alive, I think.
Yeah, and
maybe a little worried, because when you have this guy who's kept you alive and you see him losing it, you know, if anything, I would see a little worry. You know, maybe that's the care you saw. She's worried about him. You know, it's his health as well too.
And
so
you don't always need the annoying character. You don't all like. I'm glad.
Well, I would opt for not having an annoying character ever again. So
I know, but TV, you gotta have some type of conflict, and you don't. You already had Carol was the conflict for a minute, and then it got away from that. You know, as it went, so it's switching now. It's more Andrea than anything. So you gotta have that, and it'll probably be somebody from Tyrese's group. Who's gonna be annoying? Because one of the guys was annoying.
Oh, they wanted to rob him. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah, that's just so mean. Why would you do that?
So you gotta have the conflict. You gotta have it. So when they die, you don't worry about it. It's no big deal.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I agree with Daryl. I think I see Tyrese like making a big save.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of this season or something. Hopefully, it's not a save like I saved you and got myself killed so that you would trust everybody else in my group.
Well, if you see another black guy come out of the group,
I'm starting to worry. What happened?
Oh, you got dropped from the call. I don't know how. But anyway, you're back. Okay. Welcome all back. Right.
Yeah, man. If I was in this show and I saw another black person come on set, they would die.
I'm calling them.
You just kill them outright?
Just kill them on sight. Like, what's wrong with you? You would think I was racist. I'm like, look. I just know the rules. I'm just trying to stay alive, all right?
I'll be talking to the director. Like, somebody need to tell me something? I'm not doing a good no job. What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Wearing red. People look at you.
Nobody wants to sit next to you.
Georgia. That's what I don't get. How are you going to do this when you're in Georgia? If you were in Maine or upstate Washington,
oh, God.
I get there being like a one black guy rule. But you're in Georgia, like right outside of Atlanta. Come on, man.
If they did this in Africa, I'd just be cracking up.
Oh, God. Okay.
If they were in Africa, it'd be like Resident Evil 5. Just all the black people would be zombies, and it'd be like one white dude, Rick, just killing everybody.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I'm excited about what's going to happen on the show. And I really think, you know, after we got off of the farm, everything has been looking up as far as action. So I'm really enjoying where the direction and whatever they're doing. Didn't they get rid of like the third or fourth showrunner or something?
Yeah.
He quit.
Which is scary.
Yeah. Because I don't know what that means or how that's going to affect everything, because it's getting really good.
Well, I think their budget is getting cut. I think that's what's happening.
They still have good numbers?
Well, the budget went up. But remember, it started out with a small budget, and then the ratings were so good that they got more money, and then they were able to do that those webisodes, and then they got more. You see the budget in the shows we've seen so far with the town, the prison. They didn't have money for that.
That still looked like they bought that with duct tape and $5.
Well, this is A&E. A&E budget, even with more money, A&E is still A&E, and they don't have network budget, which is good because they'd have network problems.
AMC does have some interesting budget issues from time to time. So, yeah, I'm just happy to have it.
Just happy to have it.
I think that's why the second season was so boring to you, because cut the budget and said, okay, well, can we not see zombies? Can you just hear them? Because then we don't have to pay for makeup.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna stay on the same farm for the entire.
They could get so many interns to work on that show. They need to quit messing around.
But no, actually. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying. You got to remember, producers don't think like that. Mm-hmm. Producers are not creative.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand that producers don't understand what it takes to create something nice. They just know how to make money off of it.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking about how am I going to get a good product. They're thinking about how can I maintain to make this money while spending less. You know, that's what they're always thinking. So,
yeah.
And their little backward, you know, behind the scenes thing, it was kind of the first showrunner when he left, Darabont, I think, Frank Darabont. When he left, there was a big outcry from, I think, the creator of the Sons of Anarchy, who he's friends with, where they're basically saying that, Kirkman and you know, A&E ran Frank Darabont out, and he was the one that helped develop the show in the first place. And they're saying that they really ran out of a lot of storylines because they went through so many storylines from the comic, and Darabont wanted to do it. You know, he wanted to do that slow TV thing. He wanted to have things drag out, which he did for the first season, which everybody, you know, a lot of people complained about. That's how Darabont wanted to do every season. That's how he wanted to do
the show. That's not going to cut it, because then you're going to just drive it into the ground.
Right. So now we got this. So I think the issue is when you're in charge of a show, you kind of want to put your stamp on it. And if you have someone who already put their stamp on it and you're kind of just driving the ship instead of controlling the ship, the ego. When you're a showrunner, you don't want to go back. You want to pretty much do your own thing. So he can move on to something else using his resume.
Yeah.
And he'll be in control of it. And that's the thing.
Oh, whatevs. Well, what? I hope they do a good job and whatever. But we'll see. And then, you know, after the season officially ends, we'll come back or, you know, in a few more episodes and talk about what's happened, because hopefully nothing crazy happens. I will post a couple of links or screenshots of the epic Twitter battle between Carl and Jamil here. Now, we know on this show here that we are not big fans of Stargate Universe. We had extreme problems, but you know what? We've always wanted to invite a person, find that unicorn that liked the show.
It was so hard because we couldn't find anybody.
No, and after much searching, we finally found him. It's like finding Jesus. Oh my God. And so I'm sorry. And so Jamil is I'm gonna go out and be rude and say a Stargate Universe apologist. And so dude, what's wrong with your brain, man?
Oh man, I think what it is Stargate Universe started out behind the eight ball to begin with, because you have people who were extremely happy with Atlantis. Now, personally, as a huge Atlantis or a huge Stargate fan, I was okay with Atlantis, but I had a lot of problems with it. I had a lot of problems with Atlantis, so I was happy to see Stargate not necessarily drop everything that had happened before, but they found a way to get it back to where it was humans out of their element. And I think that's the most important thing that I liked about Stargate SG-1 when it started, is that you're outgunned, outmanned, and totally out of your element, but we're still exploring. And it was really cool. But Atlantis had become like Star Trek. The reset button was pressed every episode. No one was ever in danger. You had these huge capital ships coming from Earth. They could get there in 18 hours, but we're supposed to be in another galaxy.
Oh, they have a Stargate, so yeah.
No, the whole idea was that you still had Stargates, but you were in a different area code. That was the whole premise of the show. And they defeated that, I think it was season 4 when they made the bridge. It was bad enough with the capital ships. I liked the idea that you had these capital ships, but it took them months to get there. I got that. But when they came up with the bridge, now they can get supplies every time. They never really expanded the danger beyond, oh no, the space vampires are taking over the station. Oh no, some random alien has almost taken over the base. Every cliffhanger was that. You know, it was repetitive. It had become Star Trek. And I think Stargate Universe took a step back and put people out of their element, put the wrong people, you know, the whole thing was like the wrong people in the wrong time and in the wrong place, not even supposed to be here. And I loved that about it. There were huge problems with the first season. Huge problems. I hated the stones, the whole communication stone thing. I think they went way too far with that.
Oh, damn.
But with the second season, I really thought they started. I think in this way, I'm going to compare it to Star Trek again, in that it started doing that whole Deep Space Nine Voyager thing, where by the third season, it starts finding its groove. And I think the second season, it really started to find its groove. And I like the fact that they brought in aliens and then we finally saw non-humanoid aliens. I thought that was great. I think it was a really well-written, well-acted show. Did it have huge problems? Yeah. Was it as bad as everyone makes it seem? No. I think it's like the Mass Effect three of shows. People are hating it because it's cool to hate. There's nothing wrong.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people hated it because, like, the first episode, what did Carl say? You said it was they were running from a wisp of sand.
It was the most exciting thing that happened in the pilot.
That's all I really remember.
Wisp of sand and soil tests. That's right.
Space bees.
Yeah,
I thought that was really hard science fiction. I thought it was a good attempt at making a non-humanoid alien because they stated at the beginning, they said we are not going to do any more humans. They said that. They said we're not going to have any humanoid aliens.
But they barely had any aliens though.
No,
the whole season they barely had any aliens
because it was a character study, and I think they were building up the characters. We didn't have any characters transfer over. Or characters that were built off existing mythology, like we did with Atlantis. Atlantis was just a carbon copy of SG-1. You know, I'd say worse writing than SG-1. It was never as good as SG-1. What we had is we had all new characters, everything, and because you had these interesting characters, I liked it that they dealt with the problems that the people had to deal with. First,
I think they did it better in Battlestar Galactica. I think these characters were just a bland piece of chicken breast that has no salt. It's dry. I think everything that they did it wasn't exciting. They went too far. It was a character study, but it was the most boring character study that I've ever seen. I was not interested in anything. I had to force myself to watch it. I had to really try to find anything interesting about their journey or what they were doing, because all I felt was this was better on Battlestar Galactica. All they've done, it was completely obvious to me that what they wanted to do after Battlestar Galactica was canceled was take Stargate, take Battlestar Galactica, mix it up in a bowl, and try to get a good success or a good hit again. And for me, I just saw through it, and it didn't work for me. So I don't think it. And as far as the Stargate universe, it was fun. SG-1, Atlantis, I'm going to give you its problems. It had its issues.
Yes, it
but
did.
Even SG-1 had its own issues, but it had a formula that I became comfortable with. And that could have been my problem, that SG was just not the science fiction that I wanted to see. They could have not been, it had the trappings of science fiction.
And told the exact same story.
Yeah.
I am really tired of incidental science fiction where basically the same story could be told, on a boat traveling through the Amazon, someplace, or it could be, if it's going to be a science fiction story, utilize the elements of science fiction to tell us different stories. Make it new and interesting. I don't want to just hear, this girl has rejected me and no one is paying attention to me. And that's the episode. I could be watching a soap opera. Don't bother putting it in a spaceship then. It's just
so many stereotypes. I mean, so many.
Oh, all right. I'm going to have to answer each of you in a row. All right.
Appreciate it.
Kat, comparing this to Battlestar Galactica is like comparing Deep Space Nine to Babylon 5. Yes, there's significant similarities.
Well, wait, I'm trying to figure out what was the good one. Which was? I'm a little confused. Yeah, just flesh that out just so I can keep track.
They both got better.
Are you saying Babylon 5? Which one are you saying sucks? Because you're a bad person if you think either of those.
I will agree you are a bad person if you think either of those suck.
You are making a comparison. You're saying like one is good and one is bad.
I'm saying
the whole thing where people were like, oh, I'm not going to watch Deep Space Nine because it's too much light. Okay, I feel you on that. I'll give you that.
And also, Battlestar Galactica had the benefit of having a base. Sure, they flipped the script. They made Starbuck a girl. Woohoo! Adama's a drunk. Yay! But I mean, you still had a point of reference for all the characters. You automatically had these archetypes. Every character, when you watch any show, they start out as stereotypes. I don't care how good the show is.
That's not what I was talking about, though, Jamil. What I'm talking about, it had the dark, gritty, lost in space feel to it. and that's the same thing that they wanted, that same thing, because they thought that's what people like, so that's what they added to Stargate
I'm not gonna even argue that. I agree with that. That they, it's obvious
that didn't
they
like said, it. That was my need, whole thing. Need, that was the whole
we
point.
We need to recreate a Battlestar Galactica, but I don't think that should be held against it. I still think that they did a good job. My problem with it was, like, you know, like I said, some of the aspects they used with the stones, where they freaked out when everybody didn't automatically like it, so they kept on trying to connect it back to SG-1 and Atlantis. You know what I mean? I think they should have just held their guns and told the story they wanted to tell. I can understand with the with your problems with the pacing, because just like you said, you didn't want to see the slow burn with Dearborn and Walking Dead. You didn't want to see that slow burn. I think this is what that was. It was a slow burn. And I think they thought they had time to do that slow burn because they're like, this is Stargate. The Stargate fans are going to watch it, and they'll give us a chance. And then no one did. But I defy someone to tell me to watch the last half of season two and tell me that wasn't good time.
No. At the end, it started to – I will agree that it started to get some stuff in there that I did enjoy. But it took a really long time, and you don't have time like that anymore.
You stop caring. I would say it was full of even the characters that they had in it. If you're going to make a character study and you're not going to have aliens come in, and you're not going to, you know, that you're going to focus on this set of cast members, you got to write some characters that are not just those stereotypes we've seen on TV 100 times. The nerd that can't get laid. Who's in love
every
with
show,
the,
every show starts out of stereotypes,
but you can't, every but if you're going to, but you don't have the benefit. You don't have the benefit of having all these aliens coming in, cool aliens and Stargates and all that kind of stuff, where you can kind of have them bounce off situations. You're going to have quiet moments with these characters. You have to come in hot, and you got to give these characters life. Yeah. You cannot do the pretty senator's daughter who's sad. Just because she's still sad, even though she's pretty and she's rich and her father, you know, like, no one treats me like a person.
She was sad because she's pretty and rich. It isn't an FML thing. I mean, she was.
What I'm saying. What I'm saying.
She was kind of separated from everything she knew by billions of light years.
So was everybody, though.
But her issue of being, I'm tired of everyone treating me like I'm just a Barbie doll. I'm not a real person. But you don't really give her anything.
Yeah.
To do. And then you have the Luke Skywalker, Captain America, whatever, you know, all-American guy who everybody likes, who always wants to do the right thing, who
like
you know.
I said, started out with archetypes, but I mean, I understand what you guys are saying with the what have you done for me lately? Like, you need to come in hot. I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing that the show started out really slow. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm saying that had it been given a third season, we probably would have saw it. I think if it had been on, say, I don't even want to say HBO, but if it had a network budget to where they could afford to give it some more time, it would have done well. And I think the second season was really done well. The first season, they were finding their footing, but even the first season of Deep Space Nine isn't that great.
No, it is not. I will agree with you on that. Like, it is a terrible first season.
The first season of Star Trek The Next Generation is horrible.
Agreed.
So to say, okay, well, I don't know. All I'm saying
is. But those were different times. They know by now that because they had to end Enterprise early, they had to end Atlantis early, they had to kick the bucket. Those had to kick the bucket really early. You don't have time for that. I like how Arrow came in and it got to where it needed to go, and it pulled people in and pulled me in immediately. It didn't take its time. It didn't stroke its schlong. It didn't do all that. It just got in and got out. And I want to watch it every week. Stargate Universe. It felt like arrogant writers who, you know, were above us, who thought that they're just going to give us something and we're just going to take it just because, and they don't have to do anything because they're lazy. The artists and blah, blah. And I just didn't, I don't want that. I want you to entertain me. I don't need explosions. I'm not saying that you needed explosions and you needed somebody to have a fight or anything like that. But I wanted to them to get in there and give me something really different. And
I love Star Trek, and I will say that a lot of those shows were lazy. The writing that they did for a lot of those shows were really lazy
for Star Trek.
for some of Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna do.
And then when you kind of got the right people out of the way, you know, like Deep Space Nine, you kind of got people in who really wanted to do something with it. Who, you know, they didn't want to do the same generic stuff over and over again, one and done episodes where no one is developed, no character is really developed. You go back to the same nonsense. Nothing really happened. They got away from that, but I think that they said we have Stargate in the name. We don't really have to do.
So then you're saying what Jamil is saying, which I kind of agree with after we've talked it out, that they just needed more time.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that I agree with you that the show, I think, I won't say the show sucked. I'm saying it didn't live up to its potential. I think that's more appropriate. That, because it followed the same trajectory of a lot of shows that we all like. It was following the same trajectory.
Starting crappy?
Yeah, starting less than its potential, because it didn't start crappy. Like I said, I don't need pew pew. I think that's just our difference in taste.
I don't need that either. That's not what I'm saying.
But I went into it expecting, like, I saw the casting call, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna start out with like, I mean, you can look at the casting call. If you go back to one of my favorite sites when I watched a lot of Stargate was GateWorld.net.
Yeah,
and they showed all the casting calls.
Yeah,
and I mean. And you looked at it, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be 90210 in space. Mm-hmm. And you could see just from the jump that it was going to start out really, I still won't say bad, but stereotypical. It was going to start out really stereotypical.
Wait, why do you keep saying stereotypical? Because when you say that, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean.
Well, I said it.
All the characters start out as archetypes, all of them, every single one. Every once in a while, you get a character that's not an archetype, like a Sisko. I don't think we've ever seen a captain in Star Trek dealing with PTSD who's a single parent. That's unique. But most of the time, all the characters, aside from Deep Space Nine, if someone doesn't say Deep Space Nine is the best Star Trek, they say it's TNG. But TNG, Riker was Kirk. Picard started out as a statesman. Worf was a standard warrior. Wesley was the Wonder Kid. You know, everybody was still archetypes. The only person who never outgrew that was Troy, who was still useless in season 7. I sense that they're angry. No shiznit. They've got their phaser banks on us. You think they're Troy? Angry?
No. Well, I would add Troy was the same character. They wrote Troy for STG whatever universe that the senator's daughter was basically Troy. Oh,
yeah, I agree. I agree.
They felt the same thing.
There's no problem, because if most shows start out with stereotypical characters, mm-hmm. and that's the way, you know, most shows are arranged, then, like Daryl said, you have to start out with a really strong story and something to really pull you in, and it does not actually have to be full of guns blazing and smart-ass comments and stuff like that. It just really needed to pull me in with something really great.
I think if you watched Atlantis and SG-1, you were expecting that.
Okay, I will give you that, because that's what we were used to seeing in SG-1.
You're expecting that, and then you're already ticked off that Atlantis got canceled before its time, and then you watch a show that takes its place and it's totally different. You're gonna hate it.
I didn't say that, because Carl and I kind of watched this together via text, and we were really pumped up. We were really ready to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about SGU when it first came out, I agree with you. The casting was really strong.
Said they were bland.
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how they actually ended up on the show. I mean, before we saw the first episode and we saw the people that they were choosing for the roles, we're like, wow, you know, okay, these people can act. This could be good. The production value was off the charts compared to the other two Stargates. So, you know, in terms of the ship, the special effects, all of that stuff. So, you know, we were primed in the beginning to say, wow, you know, this could be good. The fact that, you know, there weren't a lot of aliens on board. You know, there were no aliens hanging around.
I didn't know that going in.
Well, we did. That's what I mean. There was no. There were just a bunch of humans. So, you know, I found a little disappointing, because I like the interpersonal dynamics when it's not just between people. You know, I want a Vulcan in there, not just because I like pointy ears, but because they
bring a perspective on interpersonal relationships into a story that's different than what you can see elsewhere. You know, that's so I said, okay, all right, they're going to be people. All that stuff, it started really, you know, before the first words were said, I was optimistic about what SGU could be. But then when I saw that first episode, and in the second episode, and while, yes, I agree that, you know, characters are always archetypes, the scenarios that they are placed in does not have to be the same thing that we've seen time and time again. How they are interacting with each other should be unique given the context of where they were and what was going on. But it's like they totally just cleaved away everything that made it or that was supposed to have been science fiction, so it was supposed to have been new, supposed to have been different, and each episode kind of marched along like something I had seen before, but and not in a new way, not in an innovative way. It just felt kind of like the same old kind of stories that I had seen before. And that and like I said, you said that it took a little while for the stories to pick up. I mean, about the time they sort of brought some other aliens in. And of course, you know, we had that second batch of humans that was lost in space. That were they humans or were they not humans? You know, it was kind of interesting. But dag, we'd been through a season and a half before any of that stuff had happened. Like Kat was saying, the entire history of modern science fiction on television ought to tell you, you have to start strong. We'd lost Caprica. We'd lost Atlantis. We've lost Farscape. All these great shows that, you know, for starting strong or not, got canceled too soon. You can't be dragging out, you know, as long as it took for SU to try and get some momentum. You just cannot do that anymore. And so all of that... Yeah.
I was agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not agreeing. I just hate the appellation that it wasn't a good show. I think they made mistakes in terms of their pacing and everything. Like you said, you got to start off fast. I get where you guys are coming from with that, but I won't ever say it was a bad show because it was still pretty well written and it was really well acted. So
I don't think they tried. Should they have
done the stories in like season maybe if they should they went maybe season two episode five should that have been like episode two
sure yeah.
You know, I don't think they knew what they wanted to do.
I think it was like Kat said. I agree that they lost Battlestar Galactica and said, man, we need another one of those. You know, I agree with that, and I think they canceled Atlantis, so they had nowhere else to go with it, and they put everybody on SGU, and I think it took a while for they like, okay, we have a premise that we could have probably used a while later, but it took them a while to figure out what they wanted to do with that premise, you know, and it's the equivalent of just dropping characters that don't work and everything. I think all that stuff that probably would have been done, because you got to remember, SGU got made really quickly. You it got definitely. Made really quickly. It got churned out.
You can definitely tell.
Yeah, right. you could definitely tell by the way that they had, by the way the stories were written, by the way the season had went, and then you can tell when people were, even Stargate fans were saying, this is really weak, and then they're trying to fix it. You know,
But see, what I don't understand, I mean, Jamil, we've been back and forth online about this, but what I don't understand is, when you think about what SG-1 was, okay, you know, you're not a big fan of Atlantis. I liked SG-1. I liked Atlantis, too. But when you think about what SG-1 was, and then you see what they delivered for SGU, they feel like fundamentally different shows. I mean, maybe if they had changed the name, we would have been a little better or something. But, you know, to say that just because they canceled Atlantis, you know, that I was bitter and never gave SGU a chance, that's not true.
That's
really not it. I mean, it's just those, and, you know, we were talking about this online, but you seem to imply that SGU is in some way similar to SG-1. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, I will give you that maybe the movie, you know, there are some elements in terms of the pacing and, you know, humans being out of their element. I'll give you the movie, you know, might have harkened back. Yes, you may have harkened back to some of that in terms of, you know, humans dropped in the middle of something. They're like, holy crap, what are we going to do? But if you think about SG-1, the entire 10 years that series ran, it was always cracking jokes and machine guns and running around with aliens of dubious quality. but you know, it was because of the characters on there that made it fun. Come on, O'Neill was awesome. You know, he was just so much fun that I totally let go. You know, that half of the story we saw on SG-1 was blatantly ripped off from other major science fiction programs that we had seen.
Yeah, you
before.
Had to let that
go. You know,
go.
We got the Borg. Yeah. We got, you know, Vulcans running around. We got Klingon types. We got
rubber masks.
I mean, we'd seen all of that before. But what made SG-1 fun was the cutting up of the crew. We liked the, you know, the bonding of the top
chemistry.
Four. It was the chemistry of chemistry. The silliness of O'Neill and you know, and if you will they, won't they, between, you know, Carter and all that. That was fun. And so to take, you know, to take that history and that legacy, we're not even talking about Atlantis right now, okay? You liked SG-1. So to take that legacy and that name and then to put it on SGU and then to tell the audience that, hey, you know, we know what you've been used to for 10, 12 years worth of this show. We're going to give you this now. And you all are going to be happy with this simply because the Dave says Stargate on it. I mean, help me, because I don't see how these were at all the same series. I don't see where this connection was.
Okay. I'll give you one example, and then I'll explain what my thinking is with that. Example, Deep Space Nine.
Wait. Okay. All right. Go on.
Completely different than anything ever to be in the Star Trek franchise.
But it was still serialized. Felt like...
It was darker. Mm-hmm. Completely serialized, totally different. SGU is a natural evolution to me, of the first half of this first season of SG-1. SG-1 was originally a Showtime series and was a lot darker. When it moved to sci-fi, it slowly started getting lighter and lighter, and then it kind of went into self-parody as it went on and everything, and it got a lot more fun. By season four, it's SG-1 we know and love. But when it started out, it was a lot darker. Children of the Gods is pretty dark.
Yeah.
And the movie is dark, too. So I think what they did is they said, well, we're going to go back. Am I saying that all of SG-1 is that dark and it gives a precedence to SGU? No. But I can see where they go, okay, well, you know, this is how it was at the beginning. It's heartening back. They stripped it a little. They broke it down. And like Kat said, I'm totally agreeing with Kat on that. They said, we want to make Battlestar Galactica again, you know. So I totally see where they were going. But to say that, oh, this is so dark, it's totally different than anything else, it can never work. No, I mean, it's proven. As a matter of fact, it's even funny because DS9 is the third series in the franchise, and this was the third series in this franchise.
Well, I think that's where you're trying to match those two up, because, you know...
I'm not saying it was anywhere near as good as Deep Space Nine.
But I know what you're saying, because, you know, Star Trek went that way, that, yeah, maybe, you know, Stargate could go that way. But the thing that Daryl said, chemistry, number one, that cast did not have it in a way that the other cast, the other incarnations of Stargate...
SG-1 was lightning in a bottle. SG-1 was lightning in a bottle. Like, it works perfectly, and they worked well together. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is... The show was still well crafted and it was well done.
I see where it had the potential to look as if it was well crafted, but because it just wasn't.
It was hollow.
You can see that there was hard work being done and that there was something different trying to be done. And I see what they intended, but they did not. It did not quite work on the delivery.
Even
what if you'd only seen the first season? What if you'd only seen the first season of Next Generation? What would you think?
I don't even remember it, but I will tell you that I absolutely hated the first season of Deep Space Nine, and I quit watching it. Yeah. And then I went back to it. But I quit watching it because, I don't know, it just didn't pull me in, and I hated it, and I didn't get it. Like, Black Captain, woo, saw it, hated it. Black Captain could not keep me.
And I had a totally different reaction to Cat. I loved the first episode pull me in because I could – the way he was with his son and the way that he dealt with like Star Trek, The Next Generation was kind of emotionless to me. So when they showed that first episode, that first 2 hours, and you had this guy who was a Starfleet officer mourning his wife, because usually somebody dies, they lose somebody in the crew, and then they move on. You never hear them really talk about, you know, the death of anybody or mourn the death of anybody. They pretty much just go on with the next mission. This, you actually saw this dude lose his wife, who he actually liked and loved and had a child with, and he mourned her to the point where he couldn't move on until he had that experience with the, you know, with the
prophets,
wormhole, the prophets, or the wormhole aliens, either one. So that got me. So I was involved in it because that's what I want.
That was a It was a great premiere. But then they did the episode with the game and they were talking weird. And it,
I'll put it this way. You know what got, I didn't really like the first season of Deep Space Nine, but two things got me. Sisko facing off against Picard in the first episode in the premiere.
That was hard.
And, that was good.
Sisko versus Q.
That was the first season?
Yeah.
Wasn't Q was first season, wasn't it? When he punched Q?
Yeah, it had to be
because he had hair.
So, because they were basically doing the same, they didn't really know what they wanted to do. So they were doing a lot of the episodes that were the same kind of that TNG did.
Stargate Universe never had that moment.
Let me throw this one thing out there because, you know, as an old time Star Trek fan, so, you know, I love original series the most, you know, and I was there with the original series and then we brought in Next Generation. So I've been through I've been through all of these generations of, you know, of that science fiction fandom. And I was used to sort of adjusting as a new one came in and to see, you know, what was coming next. And I was open to it. I agree also that you there? Hello?
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 Jamil? Uh-oh.
Did we lose him?
Still there. I still see him.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I cut out for a second.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, I cut out for a second there. Yeah.
When DS9 rolled around, just before it premiered, one of my old Star Trek fans, the person who actually got me into the original series, was lobbing a set of criticisms about Next Generation to me. You know, she was saying, well, this is what's wrong, and don't you see this is what's wrong with Next Generation? And I was just so happy to see Star Trek on. You know, I wasn't really paying that much of attention. I enjoyed the characters, I enjoyed the space, but she really did outline the deficiencies of what was going on with Next Generation. So, you know, just weeks later, finally, when DS9 came out, DS9 felt complimentary to what Next Generation was about. It felt like it was answering questions or it was addressing things that were missing from Next Generation. And I mean, just like, you know, like shaking hands, like the fingers interconnecting and locking together. So it was just like, you know, just like you said, somebody needed to get up in Picard's grill. The dude was a Borg and killed off half the Federation. Nobody mentioned that. You know, he's still just floating around in the ship, and that's all right. You know, right. Q, yeah, somebody should have decked Q a long time ago. Each one of these things. So everything that happened in DS9 felt like a response to, you know, the whole, you know, the Pinafore crap that was going on with Next Generation. Not that Next Generation was bad, but it was sort of like, you know, the angry fans finally had an outlet and their issues were being addressed. And it was done in a fun way, and it was done in a rich way, and it was done in a way that was different. My problem with SGU is, you know, I don't think anybody was asking for that. You know, I mean, when they were watching SG-1 and when they were watching Atlantis, you know, whatever criticism you have, I don't think anybody stood. No, I'm sorry. I don't think anybody said, you know what? I think we need some more of them stones. That, you know, it's not a holodeck. We want to see more people inside of people. That's what we want on a science fiction program. You know what we want in Stargate? Less aliens. That's what we need. So let's make a series.
I love them stones.
Less aliens, more stones. You know, let's do that. And you know what else I don't think there's enough of in Stargate? Teen angst. Can we get some of that and people wearing the same thing?
So I'm joking around, but seriously, philosophically,
if they had a lot of teen unks and all of them took their shirts off, Cat would have been fine.
No, seriously, I'm just joking with the shirts and stuff. I am deeper than that. It's just jokes. Come on, guys, give me a little bit of credit.
Maybe
somebody did need to take a shirt off.
Somebody was taking a shirt off. They got my attention for a couple episodes, but they cut her out. So
I'm glad because.
Let me add one thing with that too, though. Even with Stargate and Stargate Atlantis, which I think was a weaker show than Stargate, they still had people who had friendships.
Yep. Yeah.
You could still look at these people and say, I could see them hanging out. I could see them, getting along and wanting to, go out and they would die for each other. I could see that. And not just because it's their job, but because they actually care about each other. Stargate Universe, they had the two guys. I can't remember the names. It was the two
sergeants, right? The two Marines.
The Angot
and Young. And the only reason I can remember that is because I had to look up the cast. Because at times felt interchangeable. So it's Scott Young.
Guys, they're supposed to be friends, and it just was the weirdest. They look like they never. But wait a minute though. Let me finish. They look like those two guys would never want to be in a room together with each other. The chemistry they had was that you could never see these guys wanting to hang out when they're not on duty. It didn't make it. They tried to make a friendship out of them that just did not work because they didn't take the time to show me. The friendship. They took too much time showing me how angry this guy was all the time.
Black dude, the black dude,
angry all the time,
right? Yeah, I think, like I said, there was a lot of mistakes made at a fundamental level with the show, because they didn't make anyone likable. No one was likable except for maybe Eli. Eli was the only person who was like,
so stereotypical.
He was whiny.
I think the cast was, I think they, you had Ming-Na, you had
who
Robert
played Miller, the exact same character she has played in every show she's been on.
She's got a chance. She's on S.H.I.E.L.D. now, so we'll see if she pays somebody different.
Yeah, she'll
turn into an alien at some point, I'm sure, or a robot, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, there's we could talk about the mistakes made, but The show itself, I still enjoyed the end result. That's all I can say. I enjoyed
what end result?
I enjoyed watching the show. I mean, you guys already decided that you don't like it.
It's from evidence. I mean,
from watching it.
We gave it a chance. That's why I kept watching it I watched every episode because every episode I was like giving it a different, fresh slate every episode. Yep. You can't just dismiss me saying I don't I wanted something else. I really, really gave it a really intense shot.
I believe you. I'm sorry if I'm coming off that I'm dismissing what you guys are saying. I'm not. I think you guys have valid criticisms. What I'm saying is I watched the show from stem to stern and I enjoyed it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
but you haven't told us why, man. I don't get it.
every time you pick up a point, you'll say,
you got a legitimate point, but in DS9, and then you go off on something.
You're asking me to compare, I was telling you why I think it was created the way it was, why I think they made the choices they did in creating it. I enjoyed the character development. I enjoyed the fact that I liked it. I think the characters, yes, they started as archetypes, but that's what I expected. I expected them to be stereotypical. But over time, I came to like Eli. I love Robert Carlyle as Dr. Rush. He was my favorite character.
Yeah, of course.
I love Dr. Rush. I love the triangle of the captain. I can't remember his name now, but captain, Eli, and Dr. Rush. That the triangle of those three characters over the course of the series, I really liked. The only thing I didn't like was the first season with the stones. I really hated the stones.
Everybody hated the stones.
I think it was the characters than the stones.
I enjoyed the attempts at totally unique ways of showing alien life. The sand thing didn't totally work, but I appreciated it.
That's
you know?
So positive of you, man. Which is
great. Which is like we all have shows that we listen. I love Smallville, and I get ragged every day.
You should. Well, you know,
about how bad.
It's not Heroes. So yeah. Don't feel bad about Smallville.
But I can accept how badly, because there were plenty of cheesiness in that show. Mm-hmm. And I can accept how cheesy it is.
It's fun, though.
And Caprica, you know me and Kat go back and forth on Caprica. I could not stand Caprica.
Caprica had things that I liked about it. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I have a hard time explaining to people like why. I have a hard time justifying that.
But I'm just saying, it is what, I mean, you know, you like it, you like it. That's not.
Yeah. Cup of tea. So you did not answer our question. Did you enjoy Skyline?
I thought I told you. You saw my review on Skyline.
I did?
Yes. Don't look up at the screen.
Oh. Oh, dear. Okay.
We check
out, you know, just to see, like, where your head is in the scheme.
I mean, there's going to be some shows, like, I think Carl got mad at me because I said I enjoyed Defying Gravity. Then again, I only watched like 3 episodes of Defying Gravity, but I liked them. But
you know what? After it got canceled, there were some unaired episodes that got really
good. Those were good. Those were good. Really? Same problem, though. You can't wait a whole season.
Slow burn. Stuff starts happening. Yeah, that I agree with you guys on. I totally agree with you that the slow burn doesn't work. You know, or it can't. It could work if people gave it time, but you know, a lot of shows, especially genre shows, suffer when they try to do that. You can get away with it if you're lost or something.
You know what? You have to give it in. When you start a show, if even if it's not fast and it's trying to set things up, you have to give people an in. You have to give them somebody to be like, you know what? I might not have liked this particular adventure in this episode, but I like the guy or the girl, whoever, the group that's on that screen, I like them enough that I want to see what's going to happen in the next
I think
if like someone, like if they had brought in like Jonas back from Stargate SG-1 or something, and he happened to be on the base and got caught with the characters.
Jonas?
Somebody. I'm trying to think of somebody who could come from another show that isn't like critical to that show. You know, somebody. I think if they had tied it a little more in, I think people would have got that in. If they got a character who people liked. Because, quite frankly, if you watch the first 3 or 4 episodes in SGU, no one's likable.
Well, then, you know, perhaps that's maybe why we didn't like it.
No one's likable. Like, it's hard to like anybody. Everybody's got, like, they went too far with it. Everyone has fault. Everyone has feet of clay.
Well, they tried to be Battlestar Galactica. The second, you know, they wanted to do, they tried to, you know, even the couple having sex in the closet, like, they tried to be edgy and be dark and brooding, and they didn't realize that wasn't exactly what caught us to watch Battlestar Galactica. It was more than that. Yeah. It was father, you know, mourning the loss of one son, and actually mourning the loss of the son who's still alive. You know, and then it's the son, the angry son, who can't forgive his father for letting his brother down. Like, all those things from the first episode.
And hot, sexy Cylon in a red dress.
I was about to say, it didn't hurt that they had really hot androids running around on the show either. That was kind of nice.
You got that right. But they made sure they put all those things in there.
Together. Even balance. You got to have the balance.
Women watched it too, because it wasn't just us watching it. Women watched Battlestar Galactica too. And you have to do... those things get lost when you have writers that says, just give me that. Put that on screen and give me that. With somebody else.
I will admit that SGU started out as a producer's show.
That's for sure.
That's why they went bankrupt.
It started out.
That's a good reason. Yeah.
It started out as a producer's show. I don't think it was a franchise killer. I just hope we see something again from MGM. So.
I thought they went bankrupt and.
So we still got Bond movies.
Oh, but wasn't that like outsourced or something? And they just slapped their name on it.
As long as MGM has Bond, they'll never truly be bankrupt.
Yeah, they kind of outsourced that, though.
Yeah.
They get money off that, so I think that pulled them out, because they still own Bond.
I mean, I do want to see something else SGU, but I definitely... I mean, Stargate Universe. But I don't know what I would want to see.
Stargate. Just Stargate, you mean.
I think that's the problem.
In the Stargate Universe. Yeah. I mean, but not Stargate Universe.
Huh? They have to go backwards. There's no way. I mean, you'd almost have to see a reboot, because where are you going to go? Humans are far too powerful. There's no point to use the Stargates anymore when you have capital ships that can travel between galaxies.
Because you have the weapons. Like, you have the weapons that they have. So it's not really anything that you can really go with unless you have them go. Somebody from the future, the Jafar from the future come. And yeah, there's some
see,
big
we threat. Tried that. Enterprise, you don't want to do
yeah,
that.
And that don't work either. So
maybe we should get J.J. Abrams to reboot it.
No. J.J. Abrams, what are we going to see? All the Stargates will be powered by lens flares?
Yes. I'm not mad at him for doing Star Wars.
Ain't mad at him at all.
Nah, he's my new hero.
I think he's going to be better at Star Wars than he was at Star Trek.
Star Trek is good.
If you look at the last Star Trek movie, it was essentially a Star Wars movie. It was high action, with a little bit of humor. It was Star Wars. There was no the hallmarks of Star Trek are usually social commentary, little allegory. That was all gone. It was a high adventure movie. It was good.
I've had that debate with people about it, but if you look at the original series, they were fighting all the time.
Yeah,
wagon like, train. Like people forget that.
I know when you go with the TNG version, they killed all that. TNG yeah. was meetings
Very
and
discussion. the entire ship was actually a Sheridan. So yes, right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it changed by then, but you can't tell me that the first, like when people are like, that's not the original Star Trek. The original Star Trek was they were jumping off of rocks punching yep. people in the face.
You yes. know, we don't understand
that we see a Kirk drum punch, but
yes.
but I mean, no, I get what you're saying, but if you notice Star Trek, but he did have that wagon train. It was a Western in space. There was a lot
it
of
was fun. Yeah,
it was.
It was, that exactly was. It was now I now I know what you're saying with you're saying that J.J. Abrams is better with sci-fi fantasy. Mm. As opposed to sci-fi science fiction, and I could go with that. He does love sci-fi fantasy even more than he does science fiction. So I can get that what you're saying.
I think his Star Wars is going to be excellent. I think he's the perfect person to take Star Wars. I appreciate his Star Trek. I could have used a little more allegory. I could have used
But you know what? You needed to bring people back, because the problem with Star Trek was I would say I love Star Trek and people would look at me like, oh, you mean them old guys that would sit at the table? So you need Stargate needs somebody like that. Somebody who can say, okay, you need people to come back first. You can do all that other stuff you want to do also, but you need to bring people back.
Right.
To the franchise.
That's right. Don't give me no season and a half runway where it takes that long for stuff to happen.
They should almost follow Star Trek's suit and do like a reboot, but a continuity reboot where it doesn't discount everything that's happened. But
alternate universe.
But you have to have somebody. You'd have to have somebody who could do that in the right way, and the suits would leave alone enough to let them do it.
It'd take a J.J. Abrams level person to do it.
It would.
It would.
Definitely not on the Sci-Fi Channel.
No.
What Sci-Fi Channel? Is it a Sci-Fi Channel?
No. I know of a wrestling channel. I know of a B movie, monster movie channel.
Okay.
Here we go.
There's
nothing wrong with wrestling. If it's not on a channel that's named the Wrestling Channel.
Yeah.
But wrestling is science fiction.
It's fiction.
Downton Abbey is science fiction. Come on.
I get hit with a chair like four or five times, and I get a neck breaker from the top rope, and I get up. That is science fiction.
That is fiction, not science. Ain't no science in that.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this. This is not happening.
I had to come to my defense, Kat. I'm a former wrestler. You know this. I can't just let it slide.
Hey, what?
Yeah, I used to be a pro wrestler.
What? Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm afraid of you now.
Comic books, pro wrestling, it goes hand in hand. It's good guys and bad guys in spandex.
I got a couple buddies that are wrestlers, too.
Okay.
It all goes together.
You heard it here. You heard it first on Sci-Fi Party Line. How it happens.
There are lots of wrestlers who are into geeky stuff.
We broke a lot of ground here today. We found the Stargate Universe unicorn and how wrestling fits into science fiction. I don't know that
I'm still not buying it.
Right,
I'm still not buying it, though.
I'm not comfortable. So. Okay, guys. Oh, 2 hours. We've been talking for 2 hours. It's time for us to wrap this puppy up. Yeah?
Yeah.
So,
let's do it.
Daryl, tell us where we can find you on the web.
You can find me and my podcast on the Taylor Network of Podcasts.com. And we have a variety of podcasts from television to comics to movies to comedy. To all that stuff, you can find it all on that network.
This is the hardest man in working man in podcasting. I gotta tell you, this guy, he goes hard. And Jamil, do you have any projects going on where we can find you?
Yeah, I'll be here in San Francisco at Isotope Comics on Free Comic Book Day with my new free comic book called Minute the Mighty, and that'll be available all over the country. So. If you got your local comic shop and you haven't placed your free comic book day order yet, ask for Minute the Mighty from NPC Comics. And I have Sunlar coming out this summer. And, you know, look out for the Geek Tragedy podcast coming back, as well as my podcast, Jamil and Madan Hate the World.
Cool. And any website that we can go to?
NPC Comics, or, you know, just go on iTunes and Jamil and Madan. Trust me. There's no other Jamil and Madan on iTunes.
Okay. And Carl, what about Robot Cat? What is it even called anymore?
Why you hurting me, Cat? You know, no, I've been busy. I'm running my company. I got stuff happening. And in my spare time, I'm messing with you. So how am I going to have time? How am I going to have time for all that? So I tell you what, if you're interested in robots and technology and AI, just follow me on Twitter. That's RobotCast on Twitter. Or if you would like to continue to follow my sci-fi insanity and geekery, you can find me at RoboMinister on Twitter.
Okay, that's our show. We have a website. It is www.scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and all those as well. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
All right, guys, we did it.
Jamel, let me know, hit me up or email me your info with the comic you're doing. I'll okay. Advertise it and stuff. That we always promote stuff, especially on Facebook. Just hit me up.
Yeah, because okay. He does like an entire podcast on that.
Okay, comic, cool.
So
on that crazy stuff.
Okay. Yeah, on that crazy stuff. But he's really got me. Daryl is like a gold mine. So give him. He is.
Cool. Can I find you on Facebook, Daryl?
Yeah, just look, Daryl Taylor. Just look me up. All right, cool. And send me your address. I got a forum where we got a lot of people, and we advertise comics all the time. So,
awesome.
Are you my friend on Facebook? Because if you are, then you could just look through my friends, and he's one of my friends.
Okay, cool. I don't know, Kat. I'll find you. Find you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, guys, I'll let you know when the show is up, because I might just like... put it up now with nothing on it and just
you ain't gonna have Carl like hum nothing to the beginning.
We're not gonna do that. So thanks listeners, we're done.